What an awesome way to start, or to start right before the sermon, because we're talking about one of our core values today, and it's interesting because it sounds funny that we're talking about planets and stars and when we were singing that song. But you know, one of the cool things is that God puts everything in its place, and everything has a particular position, if you will. The stars and the sun and the moon and the sky. You can actually, if you're to listen to stars or orbits, they actually spin and they make noise when they go in motion, and you can actually hear them. And so it's kind of interesting to realize that we're not just worshiping here and with all the people all around the world that are singing praises to God, but somehow as each planet goes into orbit, as you can hear that, I wonder how that sounds in the symphony of heaven as God is listening to the sun and the moon and the stars even make music to the living God. You know, we're created to worship. And I was just reminded that as each of us have a different role and each of us have a different gifts and different graces, that even the sun and the moon and the stars and everything that's created is singing to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we have an opportunity to get in line with the symphony of heaven and to sing praises to God. And what a cool opportunity that is. Well, today we're in the third week of our series called 2020, Vision That Drives the Fountain. And you may remember the first week when we had a water gun fight that opened up the service to illustrate why vision is such a big deal. If you don't know where you're going, if you don't know your target, it's hard to get there. But if you know, when vision is clarified, when vision is focused, it's easier to know the direction you're supposed to go. And so this is the third week of our series. Of course, our purpose, we say it every single week at the Fountain, is leading people to life, hope, purpose, and wholeness through Jesus Christ. And if you're mouthing that with me every week, that means we're doing something right, because we want everybody to know, here's what our vision is. Here's what we're after. We're after leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus. That's what we're all about. We're pursuing Jesus, and we're inviting people to come and to drink from the living water that is the fountain of life, in God Himself. So that we know that's our vision, but really our core values is what shapes how we live that out. That's really what defines who we are as a church. As our core values, because that's our mission. And so we've been looking at some of our core values as a church. The first week we talked about the core value that says we will do whatever it takes, short of sin, to reach people far from God. You think of Luke chapter 15 with the prodigal son, how the father was willing even to wait on the son to come home, was willing to do anything to bring his son home. Then we talked last week about radical generosity, how as a church we're called to lead the way in biblical stewardship and radical generosity, because the one thing in our community that continues to trap people is in the area of their finances. And we want to see people freed up and marriages healed and so many other things as people find freedom in the financial area. But as a church, we're called to be radically generous, which means offering crazy free camps, which means doing things in the community that make no sense. It seems irrational, but we as a church are called to share the love of Christ in that kind of way. Today, here's another core value that we're going to be looking at, and it says this: we invite every member to actively engage in ministry. We invite every member to actively engage in ministry. And we use the word member a little loosely. We're not talking about just church members, although yes, that's included. And as we read the scripture in just a little bit, from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you'll see how Paul uses this word member a little bit differently. But have you ever wondered why Jesus depended on the disciples to fulfill the mission of the church? It kind of seems funny if you really think about it. I mean, God has all power, you know, power. It's fully God, fully man. So it's like as Jesus came down and lived in human form, he had all the power that God had. Why did he need us? Or why did he need a bunch of disciples to fulfill the mission of the church? It kind of doesn't make a lot of sense. But I mean, he's got all power. He knows everything. He sees everything. He's full of love. Couldn't he just do it by himself? Because, I mean, Jesus is the creator. He's the one that created everything. He was with God in the beginning. He's the one who saves us from our sins, and he's the one who makes anything holy. And so it's interesting to realize that Jesus didn't lack anything when he was here, and Jesus still doesn't lack anything. But it's the reason I believe that God called us, you know, a bunch of disciples to follow him and to transform the world, is not because he lacked anything. It's not because he needed us to accomplish it, but because he wanted to invite us to be a part of what he wanted to do. Because the best way to transform the world is to take some broken vessels, to take some people that didn't have all their stuff together, and to work in their life in such a way that when other people saw people like the disciples who had some messed up things in their life, and they saw who they were before and who they were after they met Jesus, Then they would say, well, if Jesus did that for you, maybe he can do that for me. And the cool thing about being a follower of Jesus is this not about just sitting in the chairs or pews or, you know, depending on the type of church, right? It's about being a follower of Jesus. It's not about just being a Christian in name, but about following him in everything we do. And as we do that, people start to say, hey, what's different about you? And we get to invite them to experience who Jesus is. And so what an amazing thing. That's why God chose to use us. In fact, in the book of Acts, it's kind of the... It's an amazing book of just God transforming people's lives. It's how the early church started. And in the book of Acts, Jesus has already been raised from the dead. He's already gone to be with the Father in heaven, already appeared to the disciples before that. And he's sitting on the right hand of the throne of God, which is exactly what we sang about. But in the book of Acts, suddenly the Holy Spirit rushes in on these disciples. And before they didn't need the Holy Spirit because Jesus was right there with them. But now Jesus sends an advocate called the Holy Spirit, who is God himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to live inside of them. And as the Holy Spirit comes inside of them, the power of God is in them. And they begin to preach the gospel. They begin to share of the good news of Jesus. They begin to heal people. And they begin to perform miracles. And people are astonished. But in Acts chapter 4, all of a sudden some of the religious leaders, some of the Sanhedrin, now, the Jewish leaders didn't quite like what they were doing. In fact, Peter and John, they had them arrested because they brought them in and they wanted to know kind of what was happening, because Peter and John had been preaching the good news of Jesus, and about 5,000 men, it says, had given their lives to the Lord and had been saved. Now you just imagine that. Take that out of the Bible pages, and what would that look like today if all of a sudden 5,000 people come to know Christ? I mean, this is the same power that was in them is the same power that's available to us today. The Holy Spirit is wanting to work in the hearts and lives of every person. So the religious leaders, they bring Peter and John in, and they're like, hey, first of all, I need you to stop talking about Jesus. You're causing a commotion. Stop talking about Jesus. That's essentially what it says in Acts chapter 4. That's the Andy Lett translation. You won't find those words, but that's what they're trying to get them to do. And Peter... They end up asking the disciples, they said, by what power or what name did you do this? Why are all these people coming to know Christ? Why are their lives transformed so much? And Peter begins to share the good news of Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit. He wasn't an amazing communicator. He just shared what he experienced in Christ. And at the end, he closed by saying, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. And that could sound like a big theological statement, but as Peter is saying this, and as the Jewish leaders were seeing this and seeing his life, Peter was sharing this out of so much authority, because we know what Peter's life was like before he experienced Christ. We know that how many times he fell short. We know that even right before Jesus went to the cross, he denied Jesus 3 times. And in the middle of all of that, he knew that no matter how much I tried to be good enough, there was no way to do that. And the only way that I could find wholeness, the only way I could find salvation, was through this Jesus who has changed my life. And I love what it says in verse 13. It says this, and it'll be on the screen too. It says, when they saw the courage of Peter, meaning the leaders, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled and ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had what? Had been with Jesus. The interesting, you can keep that up. The interesting word here, when you look at the word ordinary, it's actually English translators are being kind of politically correct. They're being kind of kind as far as what it really means, because the word in the original language for ordinary is actually the word idiotes. And you can kind of see where this might be going. They were unschooled idiotes. And it's where we get the English word, of course, for idiot, meaning, and you can look it up, stupid, ignorant, or an unlearned person. They're saying, hey, these guys were ignorant. These guys didn't know what they were doing. And so turn to your neighbor and look at them and say, bless your heart. Some of you are laughing because you know what that means in the South. It means when you say bless your heart, it doesn't really mean bless your heart. It really means, oh, you're being nothing but an idiot right now. Bless your heart, you poor thing. I get that a lot, you know, so. But anyway, especially at home. But no, I'm just playing. But anyway, the interesting thing about this is, do you notice who Jesus was using? You know, the good news for you and for me is that Jesus can use the smartest people that are out there. Jesus can use the people who have the most faith, but God specializes in using people who don't have all the qualifications. He specializes in using people like these disciples and like you and me, and hopefully nobody would call us idiotes, but he specializes in using even people like that to fulfill the gospel. And so when the religious leaders looked at the disciples, they were amazed that these unlearned, uneducated, unlikely idiots, as they're calling them, had this dynamic faith and power. And they said, "What is it about you?" And they took note that they had been with Jesus. You know, as we serve, as we're called to serve the Lord, one of the things that drives all of our service is not our ability. It's not all the things that we can conjure up on our own. What really defines the way we serve and the way we impact people is that we have been with Jesus. Because what the world needs most and what people need to see most is people who have had their lives radically transformed by the power of God. People who have experienced forgiveness and they know it's real. People who might look in the world's eyes like a bunch of idiotes, but people who are willing to be vulnerable and naive enough to believe that the power of God can really impact their lives, that it's real, that Jesus is real, that his love really does change. And people who have been with Jesus and who are willing to reflect that Jesus to the world. And this is the power behind all of our service. I've heard it said before that God doesn't call the qualified. Thanks be to God. He qualifies the called. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. God may call you to do certain things or to serve in some capacities where you're like, I don't know if I can do that. But if God calls you to it, God will lead you through it. If God calls you to it, he will enable you to do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. So with all that, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'll just ask that you remain seated. We normally stand, but 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is Paul talking here. I had to make sure that we understood where the power comes from, because oftentimes, and this is always something we have to fall back on and realize, is that any time we serve, if we're going to make an impact in the world, it's got to be God through us. It's got to be like God coming into our life and like a water hose pouring out to the world. That's the very lifeblood of all of our service. And now this talks about the importance of every person finding a way to serve, because God wants to use you right here and right now. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, reading verses 12 through 27. So hear the words from the Lord. This is Paul writing. And he says this: "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, and all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many." In other words, it's saying that in the church, we all have different gifts. We all have different abilities. We all have different ways and different personalities and different things that flavor the church, not just the fountain, but the church of Jesus Christ. And God takes each of us with all of our diversity and all of our different giftings and brings us together. And what really unites us together is through baptism and through a relationship with Jesus, our faith. So as we're connected to him, even though we might be diverse and come from all different places, Jesus unites us together and we become a part of the team in the family of God. Verse 15, it says this. I love this. Get ready. "Now if the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be." And that's a good word for us. Let me read that again. "But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be." Verse 19, if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you." And the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while the presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. This gets me excited because the cool thing, you know, the reason why we believe it's so important for every member to be actively engaged in ministry is really because of this verse and so many others. And did you notice how Paul uses the word member? It's very different. It's not talking about a church member. It's using it in the context of the human body. Each member, each finger, each arm, every body part, every member of the body has a different role. And if one part is off, or if one part is missing, or if one part isn't doing its role, the whole body doesn't function properly. And so it is with the church. We all have gifts and graces and different abilities. We have different personalities. And God takes all of that and makes us into this well-oiled, sometimes wounded, but healed by the blood of the Lamb machine that goes out into the world and serves and shows people who Jesus is. That's what God wants us to do. And so Paul uses this human body really to as an image of the body of Christ or the church. And so, everyone has different gifts. And although we're unique, what really unites us together is our faith in Christ. No one has every gift. And I think one of the things that this is really helpful to know that and to be reminded, I don't have every gift. You don't have every gift. We need each other. God designed us and wired us so that we would have to work together to accomplish the mission that God has. That's how the church is supposed to be. And so in order to fulfill that purpose, God has assigned each of us a role. And so it kind of reminds me, as you know, I'm a big sports fan. It reminds me of being in a football team. You know, there's the water boys and there's the or the girls or whatever. You know, there's the coach. There's all these different roles. But if you just think of an offensive play, you need every single person on the team doing their job in order to accomplish a play. There's only one quarterback on the team unless you're running a strange play. And usually it's not helpful to have two quarterbacks out there because it's a waste of a player. And so, I mean, you think of any kind of offensive play, what has to happen is the center starts with the ball. We don't think about the center, but the center is important. The center has to snap the ball to start the play. The quarterback has to receive the ball, whether under shotgun or under center. And then all the linemen have to block. And I know the linemen don't get a lot of credit, but if one of them doesn't block and somebody comes through the line, the whole play is messed up. And the running back has the role of running the ball when he gets it. And the receivers have to run very specific routes. But the quarterback's job is to just simply distribute the ball, is to put the ball in the hands of the playmakers. And so it's interesting that, you know, these quarterbacks make a lot of money in the NFL and stuff, but they're not really the playmakers. They're just putting the ball in the hands of playmakers. They're good if they distribute it among everybody. And it kind of reminds me of what Paul is talking about here in the body of Christ. If one part's missing, if the line suddenly decides, I'm not going to block, everything messes up. If the quarterback decides, all right, I'm going to take a break, then the center will snap it and it'll be a touchdown for the other team. This is kind of what Paul is talking about here with the body. Some people are the eyes of the body of Christ. Some people are the nose and the ears. Some people are the parts of the body of Christ that maybe get a whole lot of honor and people really recognize that. But there's some people who serve so much and have the most crucial role of maybe being more the behind the scenes type people that maybe nobody really notices from time to time, but God does. And this is a crucial part of what it means to be a part of the body of Christ, that every part and every person is indispensable. And so there's a reason that as we're forming community and as God is forming community, for every single person has a role. Every single person is important. And so if any part is missing or out of alignment, the body stops functioning the way God created it. And so here at the Fountain, we also, another part of what it means to serve here at the Fountain, is we don't believe in the warm body approach. You might be familiar with that. Can I get somebody to fill in here? And you just put a dead body or anybody that can, you know, that can possibly do something. We don't believe in the warm body approach because that's not really what this passage is talking about. We're never looking for that to just fill a need. We're passionate as a staff and as a church discovering what each of our gifts are. and helping you to discover maybe even some new gifts that you have, and helping you to move into those places. And we always talk about putting people in their sweet spot, because if you put people on the right seat and on the bus instead of the wrong seat, all of a sudden the church begins to work the way God has created it to work. God has given us specific gifts and purposes and roles. And if oftentimes what oftentimes happens is we say, oh, I wish I had that gift. If I could only sing like Jeremy West. If I could only do this like the way somebody else greets. And we often say, oh, I want that. But God has given you specific roles, specific talents that God wants to pour in and use in a powerful way. And so one of the things that we do is, you know, we don't want people to be something that they're not. In fact, a really cool story here. Mike Turner, who is our director of children's ministry and operations, Mike and I have known each other since the seventh grade. And he had sensed a call to ministry really about 7 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago. And one of the amazing things that happened is one day, this is kind of the point here, is we want to invite people to even try new things. And what happened to him is somebody asked him to come and help out with the kids ministry at the church he was attending. Hey, just come on out and help. And he was probably like, I don't know if I'm going to be good with kids and all this stuff, because he was very successful in his agriculture business and the tree company and everything. And anyway, he decided to come, and they kind of promoted it like, they didn't say the bouncer, but basically that was his role. You're going to be the bouncer. You just kind of be the disciplinarian and make sure no kids get out of line. He's like, okay, I'll do that. So he shows up waiting to be the bouncer and make sure no kids get out of line in the kids ministry. And over time, God starts to work at his heart, and he starts realizing that I didn't think that I had this gifting, but wow, this is something that makes me come alive. And maybe this is the thing that God has created me to be and to do, is to work with kids. And so here we are today. And it's because somebody was willing to call him to do something that maybe he wasn't willing to do, or maybe he didn't think he had the giftings to do. But he was willing to step out and try something new. And he found that that became the sweet spot that God created him to be a part of. And so I say all that to say that it's exciting to try new things, but we want to help you to find the sweet spot that God has created you to live in. The church is also not about the pastor. And I say this as the pastor. The church is not about me. It's never been about me. And if the church is ever about me, we might as well close the doors, because we cease to become the church that God's created us to be. The church is about Jesus. And I know it's easy to say that. I know, okay, a name goes on the website or stuff like that. And obviously, we need a point person in the church to give leadership. But the church is really about God working in the hearts and lives of every person. I'm not the church. We are the church together. All of us are the church. And it's wonderful not having a church building, because the church is not the building. We know that. We set up every single week in a space that's not our own. The church is all of us going out and being the body of Christ for the world. But you may be surprised about the role of the pastor that's given in Ephesians chapter 4. The role is a little bit different than you might imagine. It says this. This is what Paul writes again in Ephesians about the role of the pastor. He says, it was God who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. And here's the role: to equip God's people for works of service. To equip God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of God. And so my role as your pastor is not to accomplish all the ministry of the church. I'm glad to serve my tail off, but I don't have every gift. I'm not the church. We're the church together. And so my role as the pastor is to equip you, to prepare you to do the work of the church, to be the church for the world, to be sent out and to serve like crazy in your sweet spot, the way God has created you to serve. That means here at the Fountain, and it means in your spheres of influence. We'll talk about that next week. But that's why every single person serving is so important. I said once before we launched, we had a few preview services. And one of the things I talked about is this body part that doesn't get a lot of mention. You know, you've got this body part, but you may not even think much about it. But it's a very important part, and it's the pinky toe. You know, the pinky toe, you know, poor pinky toe. Nobody ever talks about the pinky toe except for the cute name that it's got. But it's one of those things where if all of a sudden the pinky toe is cut off of the body, if the pinky toe decides my role is not significant enough and I'm just going to pull out and just decides to stop working, then what happens is the whole body begins to walk with a little bit of a limp. And so I don't know if anybody in here is the pinky toe of the body of Christ, but I want you to know that every part is significant. Every part has a role and every part is important. And so you may come and say, I don't even know if people notice me, or I don't even know if I make any difference here. But God can even use that. God even uses the pinky toe to make the whole body walk correctly and to be the way God has created it to be. And so one of the things that comes to mind is the reason that our core value is every member in ministry is not because we need more people to serve at the Fountain. We do. We want people to serve. In fact, in most churches, the 80-20 rule is kind of what happens, where 20% of the people do 80% of the work, but not at the Fountain. We've got a whole lot of people that serve. Almost everybody has a place to serve at the Fountain, which is humongous. But really, it's because without your presence and without your gifts, serving the Lord, the whole body ceases to be what God intended for it to be. I mean, this may not seem like a big deal, but even your presence on Sundays, when one person is missing, we feel it. When one person is missing, the whole body feels it. When somebody rejoices, we all rejoice with it. When one person is sick or is hurting, the whole body feels it. But if somebody's missing on Sundays, we feel that too. Because suddenly, as God is trying to cultivate this community and wind us together, if we're missing, each and every person become the salt that flavors what this church is and what the church of Jesus Christ is. And so it's so important for you to be here if you're in town, because it's not just about you and the Lord and not just about your neighbor, but it's about everybody in helping to create the community that God wants it to be. So come early and help create that community. It's a big part of what God is trying to build. And as people come in, what everybody always says is, wow, this is a dynamic community. And what they're talking about is not so much about us. We're a bunch of broken vessels, I know. And sometimes I have some goofy things that I say. It's not me that's attracting people. What's attractive is this is very real. And people see that Jesus is involved in this. And they maybe can't put their finger or their thumb on it. But people know, like, there's something about this that's dynamic and real. And it's not a club that I went to the other week. It's not like anything else. It's the body of Christ at work. So I want you to know that everybody is important. And I think the other thing, the temptation for all of us as a church is to come and to kind of act like we're shopping for goods at the mall when you come to the church. And I'm thankful at the Fountain that we don't really have a church like that. But over time, what happens as we suddenly start to settle and the church no longer becomes about who we are and what we do, but it becomes about the place that we worship. And so you come to church and you shop for spiritual goods, and it becomes things like, you know, a spiritual, we become spiritual consumers, where we're there to consume spiritual goods. And God didn't create us to live like that. You know, a spiritual consumer comes to church and says, what's in it for me? What can I get out of it? Where am I not getting fed? But really, God didn't create us to live like that, to be spiritual consumers that just consume spiritual good. God called us to be contributors in building up of God's kingdom, contributors in serving the Lord in everything that we do, in our lives as an act of worship, no matter where we are, but even at the Fountain. And we know that God can use every single person, even the pinky toe, for His glory, to wind us together and to fulfill God's mission in the world.